On September 22, 2022, a forum was held at the Belfast Library called the Citizens Climate Change Forum. The sound from that was provided to WBFY by Ned Leitner and Belfast Community Television. My name is Vic Treadwell, and I have edited the following sound to remove long pauses, hemming and hawing, and other such distractions.
Well, thank you all for coming this evening. My name is Paul Roby. I'm a member of the Belfast Area Chapter of Citizens Climate Lobby, also known as CCL. CCL is a nonpartisan grassroots organization that advocates for a national market-based policy to transition our economy away from carbon fuels. A key component of this policy we're advocating for would return money from carbon fees to every U.S. citizen, giving every household a check every month, which could be used to help in that transition and to cover the expenses of the increasing carbon fees. This would have the most positive impact on families with lower incomes. Tonight, we have the opportunity to hear from one prospective legislator. Marianne Kinney is not able to join us tonight because of a physical problem with her property. But I think it's worth appreciating the fact that both Marianne Kinney and Chip Curry are sitting legislators. They're serving us. The legislature was in session this week. So the fact that Chip Curry has made time for us tonight, I am very appreciative of that. And this forum this evening, it was never intended to be a debate. This forum to discuss policy options for Maine concerning response to climate change is moderated by Dr. Peter Millard. Dr. Millard helped found this chapter, our chapter of the Citizens Climate Lobby. He's also chair of the Climate Committee of the Maine Physicians for Social Responsibility, and he's on the board of the Natural Resources Council of Maine. So I'm now going to turn this over to Peter Millard, please.
Thank you very much, Paul. Marianne Kinney just emailed me a couple of minutes ago and said they've got a leaky water heater at their rental property and they have to rush over and take care of that. So she apologizes for not being able to make it, but we're fortunate that Chip Curry can be with us tonight. Remember that the election is November 8th, Tuesday, November 8th, and you can vote early as of October 8th, the month before. You can vote by mail if you want. And you can request an absentee ballot either here at City Hall or if you search for the Secretary of State's website, you can also find that and you can fill out a thing there and they'll mail you an absentee ballot. So that's quite easy to get. And you can either mail it back or you can drop it off at the City Hall, and there'll be a box outside the City Hall so to leave your ballot. So we're talking today about the competition for Senate District 11, which is Waldo County. Our current senator is Chip Curry, and he's here tonight to answer some questions about climate change and policies that we can make in Maine to address it. What we were going to give everybody 3 minutes and so forth, but given the fact that we only have one candidate, I think we'll just leave it to Chip to answer the questions, and we won't be holding up red cards telling him to stop, because I think we'll be okay that way. And we have 8 prepared questions. Both candidates received the questions in advance, so they'd have a chance to prepare. I think we'll probably have time afterwards to take questions from the audience as well. If you want to write your question down, you can do it on an index card. Bernie back there has the index cards, and you can do that. That's probably a preferable way of doing it. And so we'd ask you, if you have a question, write it down, and then I'll read them, and then Chip can address them. And if we have time, I think we could certainly also open it up for discussion at the end. So the first thing. It's just a, and I'll ask Chip to come up here and speak because we have two microphones. We have one for here and one for recording. We're actually going to put this session on the public access TV station. It'll be, there will be a link from the library, the Belfast Library, and also from the Facebook page from the Belfast Area Citizens Climate Lobby Group. So you should be able to, your family members should be able to see it as well. So what I'll do is just ask Chip to stand up and tell us about himself.
Well, hello, everybody. I think I know a lot of people in the room, and but my name is Chip Curry, and I have the honor of serving as the senator representing the 26 rural, coastal, and island communities of Waldo County. And I say that introduction often in a committee room, and it is a great joy to represent all of Waldo County. I live in Belfast, and I have been in Waldo County for almost 30 years. Prior to living in Belfast, I was in Knox, and I also spent some time over in Unity and the Thorndike area. I spent that time in the 90s there. My work has been, you know, I started out working in outdoor recreation, and I worked at Unity College, where I taught outdoor leadership, civic engagement. We had a really strong service learning program there, and I was involved in that. And also environmental stewardship. The college has had a focus on, and continues to have a focus on, environmental stewardship. And that was my introduction to Waldo County, and it was a great introduction to Waldo County because it's a tremendous diversity of folks that are at Unity College. It has a strong conservation law enforcement program, so the hunter and fisher community was strongly represented at Unity College. There was also environmentalists that were pursuing all of the issues that we're facing in the 90s and today. And it was just an incredible introduction to the diversity of people here in Waldo County. I left that in the early 2000s, and I went over to work with under Governor King for the Governor's Children's Cabinet. And for about 10 years, I worked on children's issues, so helping communities organize to create healthier places for kids. The program was called Communities for Children, and I had the pleasure of working with recent college graduates, who mostly, about two-thirds, were recent college graduates. Others were retirees or just found themselves in a life situation where they could do a year of service through the AmeriCorps VISTA program. And we placed VISTA members all over the state on child and youth development projects. So some early child development projects, like doing home visiting programs, supporting home visiting programs, to things like supporting the YMCA when they were developing their after-school program over next to Troy Howard. Also, we had a number of VISTAs that AmeriCorps VISTA members, years of service, that served over with the Restorative Justice Project and the Belfast Game Loft. And so it was really passionate. It was incredible work, and I really found that I had a passion for helping communities to organize to do the things that they wanted to do. And became passionate about the state finding vehicles to help communities to do those things. I left that when our grant funding ran out. I taught for a couple years in elementary, so I taught third and fourth graders, and then I went back to working in higher education, and I serve as the director of the UMA Rockland Center, where I work predominantly with adult students who are going back to school to get a post-secondary credential that will help them get the work that will sustain themselves and their families. And so I am passionate. So if you follow my career, I started out with kids, like how do kids thrive? And then if you work on those issues, you quickly move over to like, well, okay, parents, having strong families and strong supporting parents to be successful. And if you do that, you quickly get to jobs that matter and jobs that support families. And so that's been a lot of my path, is working and so currently serving in the Senate, I chair the committee that focuses on economic development and workforce development. So how do we bring jobs that support our communities, and how do we prepare people for those jobs? And I love it. You know, I've spent most of my time on the workforce side of that question, and so I love learning about like what's working, what's not working, how do we bring jobs here that are consistent with our rural communities and help our rural communities to thrive. And so families that can thrive, seniors that can retire in the area and thrive, all of that is very exciting to me, but also communities that can get what they need. That they can support their schools to the level that they need to and want to, that they can continue to keep their firehouses, that they can have emergency medical services in their area, I'm happily chairing the Blue Ribbon Commission on Maine EMS right now because I'm terrified about the challenges our emergency medical services are having all over our rural parts of the state and urban parts of the state. So that's my introduction. Let's see if I missed anything I was trying to say. I chair the committee on, it's called the IDEA Committee. It's Innovation, Development, Economic Advancement, and Business. That's the one that does the economic development and workforce. I serve on inland fisheries and wildlife. Our hunting community and our natural lands are a huge part of Waldo County. And then I'm also passionate about some other issues that kind of came up that weren't originally on my radar, because they're happening now, they're very much on my radar. And one of that is protecting kids through prevention and making sure that DHS is doing everything they can, has everything that they need in order to protect kids from abuse and neglect. And then also really working very hard to deal with the crisis that our small farmers and all of our farmers are facing in Waldo County with the PFAS crisis. So we have had just, you know, people's life work put into doubt and question because their farmlands have been contaminated by the forever chemicals of PFAS and PFOA, and the whole is 5,000 different chemicals that I was very happy to support and speak to legislation to fund that to $80 million level, to which is really just the start, honestly, to support our farmers. So I'll leave it there. I think that probably went longer than 3 minutes. Thank you.
All right, now we'll start in the questions. So the first question for Chip is, as we come out of the COVID economic crisis, how do you see the green economy assisting in the recovery while protecting the interests of the most economically vulnerable in our community?
You'll notice I don't speak. I don't have scripts written for any of this. I got the questions a long time ago, and I forgot to thank you all. Thank you for doing this. The Citizens Climate Lobby sponsored the a debate last round, and I think the only one we had was for the primaries. Of all of the organizations that have worked to influence and, one, educate the public and also influence legislators, Citizens Climate Lobby has done the best because they give us these questions a month in advance, and it's a homework assignment. And so you get a homework assignment to like, oh, I don't know about that thing. Well, research it. You got time. And so thank you so much. And it's been incredibly effective. So to your question, we are in a much better place than many states in the country. For us, green jobs and green this is a jobs winner. You know, so the climate recovery, the doing renewable energy in the state of Maine is a jobs winner. And we are able to, it's an economic development driver for us. We are not, you know, we're not putting coal miners out of work in order to do this. We are excitedly training folks to work in all sorts of sectors of renewable energy and conservation. And so I just want to think about the innovation that happened here. It was a brainchild here in Belfast, but it's happening in the Madison Mill, and that's the Go Labs project. But it's taking wood pulp and mixing it to make insulation. And so it's working with our forest products industry and to renew an old mill that was sitting derelict, hiring back some of the engineers who actually worked in the mill to rehab that mill, putting out product, both blown in and fiberboard out of wood. And so incredible benefit to do renewable and to conserve, particularly for new homes, but also can be used for weatherization. So I'm very excited by that. You mentioned vulnerable populations, and I think that's going to be the big deal. As we look at everyone stepping up into better and better fuel efficient, either housing in terms of the design of the home or how well it's weatherized, or the heating system, whether moving off oil and moving on to heat pumps or other technology, and then also transportation, all of those things are capital intensive at the front end. And so people who have the capital and have the financing can do it. And those who don't are subject to all of the price shocks that will continue to come around fossil fuels. And so the big work we need to do, and we are doing, and we have to continue doing and make sure it works, is making these things available through creative financing, through a whole host of strategies to make sure that these benefits are working across class. Otherwise, we will just continue to have a class divide that's happening or that you could feel. I can feel. I go all over the county and knock on doors. You could feel. It's like, okay, oh, you came over here in a Prius, and there's a little bit of like, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of animosity that feels like a class divide if I'm with a driver who has a Prius. And so sometimes we talk about that. And so these benefits that we are seeing, and their financial benefits, really need not just climate benefits, they really need to be felt across the economic spectrum.
The second question for Chip is the Climate Council that Governor Mills created has completed their framework called Maine Won't Wait. Which recommendations in the Climate Council's report should be passed by the legislature in the next session?
So the first thing I want to say about the Maine Won't Wait Climate Council report is I have great gratitude that we have it, that we have this report. The fact that the governor had a diverse group of leaders working on this gave it a great deal of credibility. And we have a vision and we have a plan. I know some people were disappointed that the goals of 45% by 2030, 45% reduction in carbon by 2030 and 80% reduction by 2050. I know some people were disappointed that that wasn't 100% reduction by 2050, but we have some goals and we have strategies that we can compare to those goals. And for me, that's the biggest thing, that we could say, all right, now, will those things that we're proposing get us there? And how are they getting there? Are they not getting us there? How do we adjust them? So, there's a tremendous number of proposals and recommendations, some of which are already in play. So I'll highlight some of them that I'm excited by. The transition to highly efficient heating and cooling system. So that's obviously, you know, and all of the efforts around, and we'll get to the Green Bank question later, that's on it, but the work of the Green Bank. Lots of ways in which we're transitioning our heating system. We're feeling that financially right now. All of us are feeling that financially right now. And so transitioning to that will be a very big deal. Home weatherization, just as much. Can't just be around the energy source. We've got to be trapping that and making it far more weatherization. And the weatherization, honestly, has the biggest impact on the most vulnerable and the most at risk in their housing and the quality of their housing. I've done various weatherization projects that were, when I worked with AmeriCorps, we did an annual weatherization kind of volunteer effort. And so I've been in a lot of homes that struggled on that. For want of a window that they just can't fully shut, you know, it's huge. I think of the window dressers, which is an incredible organizing effort around here for low-tech ways to weatherize. Really amazing. Broadband. Broadband is a climate change policy because you reduce road miles for commuting. So the extent to which people can more often, I'm just thinking if people were more often able to, even one day a week, you just reduced, you know, if you had a typical Monday through Friday job, you just reduced 20%. Yeah, 20% of it. And if people can fully work from home, then you're massively reducing road miles. Grid upgrades is the biggest thing. Currently, the biggest problem with renewable energy projects, from my perspective, is about a third of the cost of the large projects are for grid updates, getting the grid in shape for that renewable energy. It was built to be a centralized system. Now we have a diversified system with energy going both ways. They've got to do work for that. And the CMP has not been doing that. They've been waiting for the solar project or the wind project in order to put the cost onto them. And so grid upgrades is a huge deal. I'm a huge fan of promoting clean tech and innovation, just as I mentioned with the Go Labs project. And then and because we have really creative people, and if we can leverage that and get people in all sorts of places thinking about these issues and working on these and making them successful, then we go a lot further. Lastly, climate change response cannot be partisan anymore, because these are decades-long efforts, and we can't have one change in power and everything's derailed. So the big effort around communication and talking and working at the community level, at the sector level, about the work we need to do and sustain for decades has to be all of us. It can't just be one party, because it will never work. And so I'm really positive about that. There's a ton of recommendations in it. I'm not going to try to go after all of those. Those were the by short highlight of things that I was excited by.
Dr. Richard Silkman, in his report, called A New Energy Policy Direction for Maine, lays out a plan for the Maine economy to be 100% transitioned away from fossil fuels by 2050 with no increase to electricity ratepayers. How do you see this becoming a reality?
Peter, that's a great question. Honestly, I can't yet see how it becomes a reality. I can't yet see it. I think I heard the story on the radio. I am a hopeful pessimist, evidently. I never would have described myself that way. But when you look at all evidence, and I talked just a moment ago about how it's still, these issues are still very partisan and still very kind of cultural fights and political fights, there's a lot of evidence that says we won't get there, or that
and,
a lot of evidence that says,
or it's doubtful, or it's a challenge.
That's my pessimism, just looking out at the evidence and seeing, you know, we may not get to these things based on what I'm seeing around us. And we need every other state to do it, and we need other countries to do it too. So there's a source of pessimism. Now, so what do you do with that? I'm not going to be the dance band on the Titanic and say, well, let's have fun now because I don't know how we're getting there. I do believe there is a pathway. So that's where the hopeful is, that there are pathways. There's not one pathway. Dr. Silkman has an incredibly provocative, really first kind of proposal about how to go about doing this. The consumer-owned utility is central to it, is central to that. What made me pessimistic also is I didn't see anyone else, namely the investor-owned utilities, really engaging in that seriously for dialogue. The central argument of Dr. Silkman is that if you make these a consumer-owned utility, there are millions and millions of dollars worth of grid improvements that have to happen, just an exorbitant amount. And if that has to happen when you guarantee 10% profits, then it's all 10% more. Versus if a consumer-owned utility does it, they could get all of that capital at 2.5% interest. So that difference is the massive increase. Ultimately, our goal, I absolutely believe, we've got to get there. Climate change is real, and we've got to get to these goals. I'm passionate about that. We can't get there where it is unsustainable for people to live. The pain cannot be that hard because we won't be able to maintain the political motivation, the consensus to stay there. A new party will come in, or it will say, well, we just can't get there, and they'll back off of it. So we have to maintain the political momentum, and doing that means we keep everyone on board, and the pain today cannot be that onerous that people can't figure it out. So we've got to work on all of those issues. So the real people, you know, the oldest message is people got to eat during the revolution. You know, this is a massive undertaking that Maine and the world needs to do, but people have got to be taken care of while we're going through it.
You're listening to the Citizens Climate Change Forum, held September 22nd, 2022, at the Belfast Library. The speaker has been Senator Chip Curry from the 11th District, which is all of Waldo County. We'll return to that discussion in a moment after these announcements.